So we're looking at question 72 this morning. How is the word made effectual to salvation? And for the remainder of the catechism questions leading up to question 82, which is the final one, we will be looking at the means of grace, the word and the sacraments. And the final question then deals with the return of the Lord. So this morning our question is, how is the word made effectual to salvation? And the answer, the Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convicting and converting sinners and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith to salvation. And if Dan, in a moment, you would read Psalm 19, verse 7, Liam, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, and Benny, if you would read Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. How is the word made effectual to salvation? First of all, who it is that makes the word effectual? The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convicting and converting sinners. So when we come to the word of God, and when we read the word of God, it's not enough to have the Bible and to have the reader. There must be the one who convicts and converts. The promises of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14 through 16 was that when he comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, etc. So the Holy Spirit of God is the one and the only one who can convict and convert. That's why it's so wrong for churches putting such a huge emphasis on outward things, because it's only the Holy Spirit that can do the real, and I love this word, effectual. It's only the Holy Spirit that can effect or make the change. He's the only one that can convict. He's the only one that can convert. That's why it's a lack of faith if we don't obey the word of God. Because in obeying the word of God in our times of worship, we are giving place to the Holy Spirit. Whereas when we introduce things into the worship of God or into the preaching of the word that shouldn't be introduced, we are not giving place. We are quenching the Spirit, and we're commanded in the word of God not to quench the Spirit. But then, how the word is made effectual to sinners. And the two words here are conviction, or convicting, and converting. Convicting and converting. The word convict literally means to arrest the conscience. To arrest the conscience. To stop the conscience in its tracks, and to make the conscience aware of its needs, of its guilt, and of the solution to its problem or to its need. And it's the Spirit of God that comes and convicts the world, but convicts the individual sinner to make the sinner aware of his need. And it's only the Spirit of God that can do that. We can preach the word outwardly, we can give the gospel outwardly, but only the Holy Spirit can make the mind and the heart and the soul of a man or a woman convinced that they're in need. That's what's missing in so much gospel preaching today. That people need to be made aware of their need, of their emptiness without Christ. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can do that. But then, converting, not only made aware of their need, but changing. To convert means to change the mind, to change the heart, to change the actions, to change the desires, to change the devotion. As a sinner, I love myself. I love my own things. I love my own wants. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can come and change me from loving my things to enable me to love the things of Christ. It's only the Holy Spirit that can do that. It's only the Spirit of God that can apply the Word of God in such a way and can bring the Word of God into my mind in such a way that it not only makes me aware of my need, but changes me from being one who loves selfish things to one who loves the things of God. Psalm 19 and verse 7. Thanks, man. I love that verse. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. See, it's the law of God applied by the Holy Spirit that converts the soul, that changes the soul. Just like it says in the prophet, I will take out of you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. It's only God that can do that. It's only God, the Holy Spirit, that can do that. We can't. The preacher can't do it. No Christian can do it. As Liam often goes down to Dunleary and preaches the gospel, he's aware of the fact that he can't change one person. He can be faithful. He can preach the gospel. He can hand out tracts. He can talk to people. But unless the Holy Spirit changes the heart, nothing will change. And that's what we rely upon. But then thirdly, what the Word achieves and produces, what the Word achieves and produces, and of building them up, that's what it achieves. The Word of God not only convicts us, not only converts us, but it builds us up in our most holy faith. That's why in Colossians, just if you give me a moment, Colossians chapter 2 and well known verses. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse verses 6 and 7 it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But it's this idea of being rooted in Christ and built up in him and established in the faith. And it's the Word of God applied by the Holy Spirit that brings us from conviction to conversion. That's the where we're established in Christ, and then builds us up, makes us strong in Christ, of building them up. But then what it produces, holiness and comfort. Holiness and comfort. Now this holiness that the Holy Spirit produces in us is not some outward thing that we do. You know, we stop doing certain things and we do certain things. No, there's a holiness that the Holy Spirit can only produce in us. Yes, which will lead not doing certain things and doing certain things. But this is a work of God, not something that we work, not something that we do, but something that He, that's why the Word of God talks about the sanctification of who? Of the Spirit. The Spirit works sanctification in us. It's not something we do in and of ourselves alone, but something of the Holy Spirit. And this takes a lifetime to work out. But then, a beautiful word, comfort. The comfort of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6.
And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and the Holy Ghost.
The joy of the Holy Ghost, which is the believer's real comfort, isn't it? Through whatever we go through whatever experience of life, whether it's good, bad or indifferent, the one thing that gives us great comfort is that joy the Holy Ghost gives us, knowing that we are the children of God, that we know we have been bought with a price, that we know we have been ransomed, redeemed, that we know that we have been set apart that we have been sanctified, that we have been convicted and converted and established in Christ. That's the joy of the Holy Ghost. And it's interesting in the verse that Liam read for us. It says, we receive the word in much affliction. I'm sure, as you think back to your own conversion, to whatever level there was some affliction. There was different things going on in your mind and in your heart. There was outward afflictions. There was inward conflicts. And it's like there's a whole war going on in my mind and in my heart. And at that moment when the Word of God is received, when the Holy Spirit convicts me, when the Holy Spirit converts me, there's a whole series of things going on. But the Holy Spirit through the Word of God leads me to Christ. And that joy of knowing that that has happened by the hand of God, that's the comfort for the believer. So no matter how bad my life gets, no matter how good it is, the one sustaining factor through it all is that the Holy Ghost has wrought salvation in my heart. And finally, the necessary or essential channel by which the word becomes effectual through faith to salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. Wonderful verse, well known verse. Paul makes this bold statement. Why? Because people, it's almost implicit in the verse, that people possibly were challenging him. You know, Paul, look where you've come from. Just for this? You know, you've given up all that you had in the Jews' religion just for this message about Jesus? And Paul takes his stand in this verse and gives the reason why he is not ashamed to own Jesus Christ. And he is not ashamed to leave all that behind, to leave all the benefits he had in the Jewish religion. And he says, I am not ashamed. Why? Because the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation through faith, as we read in our catechism, through faith to salvation. The gospel